We were written off before yesterday. We were told that we were going to be in third place and we were going to lose seats all over the place. So now we're in a place now where we have to figure out and wait to see who gets elected and who doesn't get elected. So we don't have the numbers yet, so we'll have to see.
Mm. Your own performance, how would you rate it?
I think we had a very, very positive and constructive campaign with a lot of canvassers. I had a canvass team of upwards of nearly 150 people, and a lot of new people, and a lot of new people who asked to join the campaign as well, a lot of young people. And I know Martin Harley had a big, big team around him as well. And we worked hard, but we were working against a big, big swing. We were working against a lot of factors, and I was trying.
What were you working against?
We were working against issues around insurance, for example, where a lot of young people and a lot of people believe that because of certain legislation that insurance premiums are going to go down. I don't know when they're going to go down or if they're going to go down over the next few weeks or whenever, or the next few months or before Christmas. I don't know, and I don't
know. But in fairness, whilst, you know, people like Sinn Féin were making gains talking about insurance and how they will help people, your party and your party colleague Simon Coveney on Highland Radio with us during the week, he only wanted to talk about Brexit. And the exit poll has shown that only 1% wanted to talk about that or cared about that. So do you think in terms of strategy, really, your party got it wrong?
Well, I think if you're looking at what motivates people when it comes to voting, I mean, obviously the health issue, obviously the housing issue. And one of the things that we picked up very, very much on the doorstep was in relation to pay, where people are under pressure, where people do look at their pay package, they look at the USC, they look at the taxes they're paying, and people are under pressure. And one of the things that we have to be very, very clear with and transparent with the electorate is to let them know how much money is there, what type of capacity potential there is for extra spend. And our message was to keep the economy strong, and a part of keeping the economy strong is to get Brexit right. Because if you think now in Killybegs, where over 50% of the efforts in pelagic fishing and mackerel fishing is in British waters, that's where the real pressure is going to be, and we have to protect that.
Mm. In terms of the makeup of the next government, I see Micheál Martin is already softening his opposition to perhaps working with Sinn Féin. Do you see that happening within your party?
No, and the reason being is we were consistent through the election that we wouldn't go in with Sinn Féin, and we're not going to change from that position.
Mm. Why not?
Because once you give a message and once but
when 22% of the population say, "Hold on, you know, we want these people in a position of power," presumably, do you not have to say, "Right, we made this commitment pre-election," but sometimes you have to listen to the people, and the people are saying, you know, it's time for them to get off.
But there was a reason why we gave that message, Greg, and the reason was, there were a number of reasons, but you have to look at the maths. We're in no way compatible in terms of the honesty around funding, and whether it's equality of teachers' pay, whether it's the public sector pay talks that will happen immediately after the formation of this government, there is no money set aside for that in the Sinn Féin manifesto. So we set aside €2 billion, we accounted for it, we put it into our financial projections, and we're a million miles out, we're as far out as Fanad Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. So are you effectively saying then your time as a minister for now is over, and Fine Gael as the party of power is over?
No.
If not, then
how
do you see yourself getting?
We have to wait to see what the numbers are, where we're at with the numbers. I mean, we could end up with the majority of seats. We don't know yet. We have to wait in that regard.
Mm. But what can you see? Even if you have the majority of seats, you don't have a majority as such. What makeup possibly could the next government be?
I'm not going to speculate.
There's
no point, because there could be a number of scenarios. Sinn Féin could get more seats. Fianna Fáil could get more seats. We could get more seats.
You must have some wee idea, Joe, given that you've already taken my seat.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a hazardous occupation, taking a fanat man's seat. So sorry about that, John.
Especially when he holds the pen.
Don't worry about it. You're safe enough anyway.
Well, I don't know, John. I know John's an expert in numbers and has a lot of experience. And
he hasn't predicted one thing today. The only thing he predicted one and two, and that's it.
Okay. After that, I'm not going beyond that, and predicted his seat, because they have the numbers between him and Martin Harley. I mean, I don't see any way that can be stopped. Right. I mean, you came into this election probably as underdogs because of decisions that had to be made. The whole Brexit thing was a real crisis. The confidence in supply arrangement was beginning to run out.
Yeah.
And people were beginning to run out of patience as well, because people's expectations are very, very high.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you manage those expectations. I don't know how any new government is going to manage them, because people were voting for change. They wanted change, but they're very non-specific about what that change can be. Do you have any idea what they want?
Well, look, one of the things we decided to do in this election, before the election, was to have a grassroots campaign. Some of our team were saying, "Oh no, focus solely on social media because it'll be a short campaign." But one of the things, and I mentioned again, the number over 150 people, we went back to basics, back to the doorsteps. One of the most positive feedbacks.
Did you say how much your party spent on social media? It spent way, way more than any other party.
No, but I'm talking about at a constituency level here. And one of the things I would like to say to the electorate, compared to 2016, there was still a lot of anger around in 2016, so it was hard to have that conversation. But we had very, very good engagement, and our campaign team were coming back, and people were saying to us they're under pressure. People were saying, Joe, we're working hard. We are the ones out there putting the shoulder to the wheel.
Yeah, when we were out doing the poll, the most noticeable thing that we noticed doing the poll this year is that there was no anger whatsoever on the doorsteps. That had dissipated.
Yeah.
But nobody could explain why. Just people wanted change. And I still don't understand what that change is. I can see Sinn Féin where they are today.
Well, John, obviously what the change is the people who, they're, whether it's a factor of perception, right, they're waiting for hours to get into a hospital.
I know that, yeah.
You know, their rents are going through the roof.
But I mean, has any party offered them any solution better than the other?
Well, what's the point in having elections if that's the case? You just carry on.
As I said earlier this morning,
that's motivating people.
Pascal Donoghue has budgeted for $80 billion of an expenditure this year.
Yeah,
it's probably going to run over that. Expectations are very high.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. And say in the department that I had the privilege of leading on, the Department of Education, before the budget even starts next October, there's going to be a necessity for €500 million just to keep the department standing still in terms of increments, in terms of pensions, and that is the reality of government. So when I went into budget negotiations with Pascal Donoghue last October, or before last October, I had a €400 million figure that I'd come up with straight away, and then we were looking for more, and as you say, John, that expectations, that it's tight, it's very tight. And what I would always say in any election campaign, you have to be honest, you have to be truthful with the electorate, and maybe we haven't been rewarded for being truthful.
If you were to do things differently over the last 4 years, what would you have changed?
Well, over 4 years, I would rather have had money. For the first 2 years, we didn't have money. If we had money to spend, obviously, we would have looked at the tax bans, we would have looked at the people who are under pressure, small businesses, and that's who we need to look after.
But the last budget did impoverish poor people more and put more money back into the pockets of the rich. That's what the last budget did. It might have been marginal, but that was the net effect.
No, the last budget was very clearly a Brexit-related budget. Mm. It was a prudent budget in the event of a bad Brexit. So every one of us, and I remember sitting down with Pascal Donoghue at the early stages, and he said, Joe, there's no extra money, there's no latitude, there's no flexibility, and that was him being prudent. But people like to see good governance, yes, but they also want to see a reward for their efforts. So the big message that our grassroots team, brilliant team on the ground, picked up was, we need, whoever's back in government, obviously the working person needs a bit of help here.
Okay, yeah, what do you think of Leo Varadkar's future as leader of Fine Gael?
I think it's safe.
Say, for instance, if you don't go into government, do you think it would be time for a change?
No, absolutely not. And Leo Varadkar has been very good to this county. He drove to Malinhead the time Malinhead Coast Guard Station was under pressure. He was the person that helped me get Letterkenny City status across the line. And he was the person that went into one of the Mica houses in Inishowen, and he felt the pain. And I know we can be accused of lacking empathy, but when he went in and met the Lynch family in Trillick, he felt their pain, and he says, we'll get this done. And look, I know there was a big, I think Mary Lou was up here last week or last weekend, and I think there was talk about her going to a Mica house. That was 504 days after Leo Varadkar stepped in the house.
It's a fair point.
That is a very fair point, but where do you see it going from now in terms of forming a government? Do you see it taking weeks? Do you see it taking months?
Look, I'm a former maths teacher, John, and one of the things I always said to people when I teach them maths, you have to wait to have the numbers in front of you before you start working on equations.
Are you going to lose seven, eight, or ten seats, do you think?
No idea.
You'd work with anyone but Sinn Féin, really. Within reason.
Don't let anyone tell you that.
No, we won't work with Sinn Féin, John.